Today, I'm joined by Amy Littlefield, a freelance journalist who focuses on the intersection of religion and healthcare. She recently wrote an article for Insider.com called "I'm 9 months pregnant and I'm bringing my baby into a world I no longer understand. I have to remain hopeful anyway." Amy Littlefield, welcome to the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Thank you so much. It's great to be with you.
And before we jump into your article, as a journalist who reports on reproductive health care, what would you say was the state of our health care system in the U.S. before this pandemic?
It's a great question. I mean, the United States is a pretty scary place to need any kind of reproductive health care at times, whether it's abortion care or giving birth. And going into this pregnancy, because I report on reproductive health care, I knew that even when you have health insurance, which many people in this country don't, you can end up paying more than $4,500 out of pocket on average, in addition to what your insurance will cover for delivery. And I also knew that the United States has the highest maternal mortality rate among wealthy nations, and that rate is much higher for Black women in particular. So I knew a lot of this going into, you know, the experience of getting pregnant myself. I think because we have a for-profit healthcare system, there are a lot of pitfalls there that were evident before we were in the midst of a global pandemic.
Now, you're due at the beginning of April, and in the article that you wrote for Insider.com, you talked about how you planned every step of your pregnancy and birth. Can you just talk a little bit about some of this work that you did?
So we arguably went a little bit overboard on the planning. We started touring hospitals before I was pregnant, and there would be other people on the tour who were about to give birth who were like wondering where they should park or what kind of meals they could get in the hospital. And I was, you know, grilling the tour guides about how many nitrous oxide machines they would have available. But, you know, we knew that the evidence supports hiring a doula, for example, a doula is a support person who helps you through labor and provides emotional support and guidance with comfortable positions. And we knew that that can lead to lower intervention rates in pregnancy. So it was important to us to hire a doula. We hired a postpartum doula to support us after the birth and, you know, of course, had a lot of happy, less structured plans around spending time with family and friends after the baby was born.
And obviously, you did not plan to give birth in this time, this pandemic. How is your plan evolving? Just to put it into context, in New York City, New York Presbyterian and Mount Sinai Healthcare Systems announced that they would bar partners and other visitors into the delivery room. Mm-hmm. I invited our midwife on, who worked with us 3 years ago in Troy, to join, and she was just too overwhelmed with requests to come on with us here today. How are you dealing? How is your plan evolving?
Yeah. So, you know, one of the first things that happened is our hospital in the Boston area restricted visitors. You know, my partner isn't allowed to come to prenatal visits with me anymore, and we can't have our doula in the delivery room because only one support person is allowed. And of course, because things keep changing and getting worse and getting stricter each day, I'm living with constant anxiety that my partner will be banned from the delivery room before my due date on April 5th. So I've been trying to mentally prepare for the possibility of giving birth alone, as I know, you know, people are doing right now in New York City, which is kind of unimaginable. Even the World Health Organization says that people, you know, which arguably knows more about this epidemic than anyone else, has said laboring people, including those who have coronavirus, should have access to a companion of choice during delivery. So it's a terrifying prospect. You know, this morning I was looking through my book of, you know, breathing techniques and positions and ways to get through labor. And so many of the techniques and the positions rely on a partner, on the assumption that you'll have someone there, whether it's a mother or a family member or a doula or a partner to support you. That's been really hard. And of course, seeing the news reports about hospitals being just inundated and overwhelmed is not helping the anxiety. The midwife that we work with here in the Boston area told us today that they've been receiving calls from patients in New York City who are, I guess, have ties to the Boston area, and are thinking about giving birth here because we're still allowing one person, and the hospitals around here are still allowing one person in. But like many people, we've been considering switching to a home birth at the last minute, which is not ideal. I'm not sure that's really what I want, but the home birth midwives around here are just getting inundated with calls from other anxious people who very late in their pregnancies are trying to figure out whether there's an option that would give them more control over the experience.
So your midwife does not do home births, I take it?
No, we are working with a midwifery practice at a hospital. So it would involve switching to a different care provider who we really don't know.
That's a lot to take on just days before you're due. I also read accounts, and I think you're a part of some online groups of people who are due in the upcoming days, may have to rely on their partners joining them over FaceTime or some other application. Are you guys discussing this? And what are you hearing and learning from other people who have already just given birth?
Yeah, I feel like community support is the way that we're all getting through this moment. And so I've been part of a community of people in the Boston area who are due to give birth around the same time. There's a lot of fear and speculation in that group about what happens if my partner can't be there to, you know, cut the cord or catch my baby or, you know, comfort me when I need it. And there's also a lot of people sharing, you know, here are some support techniques, here's some ways to, you know, get through labor, here's what our midwife at this hospital told us. There's a lot of mutual support going on in that space, as there is, I think, throughout many different communities of people who are coming together over this crisis.
I have to say that when I read your article, I cried at your account of your 100-year-old grandmother knitting their great-grandchildren blankets. Can you talk about your grandmother and
yes.
also what you're doing about distancing yourself mm-hmm. from your family right now?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, my grandma's just an amazing person. She's 100 years old. She was born the year women won the right to vote. And her health is failing. It's more difficult for her to get through each day. And she was so excited when I told her that I was pregnant. She told me that now she had a reason to live. And my sister happens to be due a week before me. My grandma is just beyond excited to meet these two little babies. She's been looking forward to it for months, and she's been knitting these blankets that she's very proud of. And, you know, I haven't seen her in weeks. I've been afraid to go visit her with all of this happening. And now her nursing home, of course, has restricted visitation. And we're really not seeing any family right now. I mean, I think like many people, we've made very difficult decisions around social distancing to protect each other in society. And my mother dropped by to pick something up from us yesterday, and I spoke to her from like 12 feet away over our fence. That's hard because I would love to be going through this experience of pregnancy with them. And we're also having to think ahead to decisions that we'll have to make postpartum as well about whether to allow visits.
Amy Littlefield, your article is, "I'm 9 months pregnant and I'm bringing my baby into a world I no longer understand. I have to remain hopeful anyway." Share with our audience how you're remaining hopeful.
It's hard right now, isn't it? I mean, there's a lot of fodder for despair every time you go online. The news seems to be getting consistently worse around here and not better. But it reminds me a lot of the way that I think of climate change, which is this other existential threat that feels sort of impossible to wrap my head around. And the way I find hope with that is by looking at the incredible examples of resistance movements that are cropping up to fight back against it. Things like the Standing Rock resistance movement, the Sunrise movement. And in the context of coronavirus, what's been amazing is to see how, you know, workers across the restaurant industry, grocery store workers, are rising up and supporting each other and demanding better conditions. How friends and neighbors are going out and flyering the neighborhood to create, you know, group chats to be able to take care of each other in these difficult times. There's all these beautiful examples of mutual support that, you know, bring me so much hope and make me feel like I'm bringing my baby into a world that is a beautiful place. as well as a terrifying one right now.
Amy Littlefield, we're almost out of time. Is there any last words you want to leave us with today?
You know, I write a lot about reproductive health care, and being pregnant has made me understand how much work it is and how difficult it is and how many resources are needed. And it's made me even more convinced that people need to have a choice when it comes to pregnancy. And so seeing states like Texas and Ohio that have used this crisis as an opportunity to try to shut down abortion access in their states is really discouraging. And I suppose another way that I'm finding hope is by looking at the resistance movements that are building up to that, looking at the clinics that are standing up to these state officials and saying abortion is essential healthcare and we're going to continue to provide it.